The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas are Vayakel Pikudei. So also, these are also the last parashas of Sefer Shmos. In Parashas Vayakel, Eperek Lamed He, Posuchof Zayin. Moshe instructed the people now to build the Mishkan. So first he had to have all of the materials. The kesef, the zov, the nechoshes, the gold, the copper, the gold, the silver, the copper, the various types of wools and skins, and so forth. And the people brought. As we're going to see, it didn't take the people very long to bring, even though much was needed for the Mishkan. It was built very elaborately and very expensively. And they brought actually too much, where he had to tell the people to stop bringing. At the end of this, it states in Posuchov Zayin, "Banasim heviu es avnei hashoham beis avnei miluim laefet v'lachoshen." The Nesim were the princes, the prince of each tribe. They were like a king. The Nesim, they brought the shoham stones. So a certain type of precious stone that was used for the gown of the Kohen Gadol, and the Avnei Milu'im, and these were other types of precious stones that were used for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. La Ephod V'Lacheshon, for the gown and the breastplate. Rashi brings, Omar Ibn Nosson. Well, first, I think, before we go into Rashi, I think we will go, because he's going to bring this, we'll go to Parshas Nosoi. That's in Bamidbar. Bamidbar. Find it in a minute. Perek Zayin. We'll start from Pasuk Aleph. In Parshas Noso, even though this is a long way from where Parshas Vayakel is, that's in Bamidbar Perek Zayin, it's a long way from where Parshas Vayakel is, nevertheless it's really not too far away in time. Because after the Mishkan, after Moshe received all of these goods and materials, then he has Bezalel and Oleov start to build the Mishkan. And in our Parshas we have where the Mishkan is finished and it's erected. This stretched from, it actually was ready to be erected Hanukkah time. The 25th of Kislev. They started on Maitzei Yom HaKippurim, the 10th of Tishrei. So it didn't take too long. It was Tishrei, and then Cheshvan, and then Kislev. They started on Maitzei Yom Kippur, the day after Tishrei, the day after Yom Kippur, because this is when Moshe came down from the mountain with the second tablets. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them not to dedicate the new Mishkan, and it should not be used until Rish Chodesh Nisan. So we're speaking about a half a year later, and it was now ready to be used. And they wanted to have the Chanukah Samizbeach, the dedication of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, and the new altar. So this is what takes place in Parshas Nosoi. So even though it's very far away in the Chumash, but chronologically it's not. It states, V'hi b'yem keles meishel ha'okim es ha'mishkon, that on the day which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that Moshe completed erecting the Mishkan, he sanctified it, he dedicated it, and all of the utensils, and the altar and all of its utensils, and now the same princes of each tribe came to Moshe, Heim Nesia Mates, Heim Aim Dimalapkudim, Vayaviu Es Korbonim Livne Hashem, and they brought special sacrifices, special offerings that would be used for the Mishkan and the new altar. Sheish Eglai Sov, Ushneasa Bokor, they brought 6 covered wagons and 12 cattle, 12 oxen, Agola al Shnei Hanasim, Mishola Echot. 2, each pair of princes brought together 1 wagon, and each one brought a bull, an ox, that was to pull it. So there were 2 oxen that was used for each wagon. And this is what would transport the Mishkan when it went from place to place. They brought it to the sanctuary, and they asked Moshe, can we donate these? And Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Kach mito, take it from them. And this you'll use for what you have to do for the sanctuary. And he gave it to the Levim because the Levim were the ones who would be transporting the Mishkan. Now, Moshe asked the question. Excuse me, Rashi brings from the Medrash here in Parshas Vayakil. It's also brought there that Reb Noson asked the question. No, Reb Noson. Ma'aron esim lisnade b'chanukah samizbeach b'tchilo v'melech samishkan lisnadvu b'tchilo. Why is it that the princes came and they were the last ones to bring, and by the erection of the Mishkan and Parshas Noso, they were the first ones? This is his question. I'm not going to read it in Rashi. I'll read it right from the Medrash itself, which is brought in Bamidbar Rabbah, because there the Medrash elaborates more. In Bamidbar Rabbah, that's in Parshas Noso, Parshas Yud Beis, Sif Yutes, Osh Yutes. Why, over by the erection of the Mishkan, they came, the Nesim came first. But when it came, for actually, when the Mishkan was built, they were sluggish. And they only brought the precious stones in the end. Now, they only brought the precious stones in the end because that's all there was left to bring. Because when Moshe announced that everyone whose heart wishes to contribute to the work of the sanctuary, and he did not instruct the princes themselves that they should bring. And they didn't like it too much, and Moshe instructed all of the people, and he didn't come to them in particular. But what they said, Omru, Yovio Amash Yovio, Umashe Yechsa Nimale Anachnu. Let the nation bring whatever they will bring. And what is lacking, then we will fulfill. Simchu kol Yisrael b'mlechas ha-mishkon. Ve'yaviyo b'simcha kol nedova u'bezrizus. When Klal Yisrael heard that they have a chance to contribute to the building of the Mishkan, they were so joyous over this that they brought with a great zrizus. As zrizus means with a great enthusiasm, and keach and speed. And and it states that the men and the women all rushed to bring their gifts. And in two mornings they brought everything that was needed. In our parsha it states they're bringing. In twice it says boker, in the mornings, which means in two mornings they brought all the materials, the gold, the silver, the copper, the skins, the tapestries, the atzeshitim, the wood, everything that was needed. Uksiva malocha isadayim, and it states that the malocha. See, if we go back to our parsha, it states. Says, one minute. Excuse me, I'm just looking for it. I'm just looking. What pasuk is it? What? And I'm looking where they had to tell them to stop bringing. That's in. Where is it? Yeah, but then they had to. Lamed Vav. 1 minute. What? Pasuk Vav. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. All right. In Lamed Vav, thank you. Lamed Vav Posuk Vav. No, Lamed Vav Posuk Hey. Vayimru al Moshe lemor. The people came, the ones who were building the Mishkan came to tell Moshe, Marbim om lobi. The people are bringing too much. Midei ha'avoda la'malocha. There's more than we need. Asher tziva Hashem nasei seiso. Which Hashem has commanded him to do. Vayitzav Moshe, so Moshe had to send out an instruction by Aviru Kol B'machane Lemor Ishvi Isha Al Yasu Od Malocha Lishumas HaKodesh, that the people should stop bringing and building for the Mishkan because there's enough. Vayikolei Om Mehovi, the people stopped bringing. Vayimalocha Isodayim Lachol Malocha Lasi Seisa VeHoser, and all of the necessities of the Mishkan were not only sufficient, but they were more than enough. So what this medrash is saying is that the people were so joyous over the opportunity to participate in the building of the Mishkan that they brought with such a keach and such zrizus, such speed and such enthusiasm, and in two mornings everything that was necessary was brought, to the point when Moshe had to say, "Vamalocha isadayim," there was enough, enough. Stop bringing. La'acher shnei hayomim bikshu anasim lahavi nidvosim. Now the princes came. And they said, we want to bring what's lacking. There was nothing else left to bring. Moshe had already said, everything is here. And the Nesim were very upset with this. So they said, since we do not have anything for the Mishkan, at least we'll bring for the big day Kohen Godel, at least we'll bring for the garments of the Kohen Godel. So therefore, it states they brought the precious stones for his gown and for the breastplate. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bonai shenizdares, kosev sheheviyo vaheser. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that my children that came with set speed and enthusiasm, that it be written in the Torah on them that they brought, and it was too much. Manasim shenisatzlu, but on the nasim that were so slow in bringing, and they waited till everyone else brought. Chisareisachas mishmom. He wrote their names without the yud of nosi. Shekein ksiv v'nesiim chosa yud. If we look here in our parsha, that's in Chof Zayin, v'nesiim heviu, the princess is brought, in the word nosi, a yud is missing. It should be written, Hey Nun Yud Sin, the Yud is missing. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, since they were so slow and sluggish in bringing, write their name without a Yud. Now the Medrash carries on. The Medrash says, Kivan Shenigmar HaMishkan, once the Mishkan now was complete, that was in Parshas Maso, Bamidbar. And it was time for it to be dedicated. They said, we're not going to let this happen to us again. Therefore, before Moshe even asked for anything, they were there. And they came and they wanted to contribute to the sanctuary. That's why it states, Vayikriv and the Sea Israel, they brought their contributions. What could they bring? They brought the wagons and the oxen. Omru hari ashosh nakriv kobanes besimcha sheshosh shkina b'mais yodeinu. They said, now's the time that the Mishkan is completed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to dwell amongst us. We should be in great simcha. Kivan shenasa Mishkan v'lo yachosa klum. And but meanwhile, the sanctuary was complete and it was lacking nothing. Omru ma yesh lanu lohavi. What can we bring? Holchu ve'yaviya agoles shenaisim aleihem es haMishkan. So they went and they brought the wagons and the oxen, so at least there'll be what to transport the Mishkan from one place to the other while they were in the desert. Who gave them this Eitzah, this counsel? Shiftishel Yisochar. Yisochar. Yisochar was the tribe that was the greatest in Torah. Shekach omru lehem. They came and they said, what else can we bring? Everything is here, everything was done. So he said, they said, Mishkan shasisem peirechu ba'avir. The sanctuary which is that built, is it going to fly through the air? Has to be transported from one place to the other. Ela hisnadvu agolais. Go and give wagons and oxen for it. Shitianesim aisai bahem. In order that it could be transported through this way. Lekaksi vayakrivu nesiei Yisrael shenisnachmu al ma she'osu b'tchila. That's why it states that they came first and foremost because they were disappointed with what had happened before. This is the Rashi brings this very concisely. This is the complete Medrash Ames. Now, we can ask on this. Firstly, what was wrong with what they said? They said like this. A great deal of gold is needed. A great deal of silver is needed. A great deal of copper and brass is needed. All types of precious stones. All types of very, very valuable wood, and so on. So let everyone bring what they will want, what they want to bring, and we will guarantee that whatever is lacking, we will fill in. What's wrong with that? It's a very, very good offer. You want to build a shul? See, tell the whole congregation, let them make the contributions. But there's one man that says, let everybody make their contributions, and whatever you're lacking, come to me. I'll give you the rest. So what was the complaint against the Nesim that they did this? That's one question. Second question is that the Medrash uses the word, the words lefi shenisatzlu, nisatzlu. Since they were sluggish, they were lazy. Well, it's not a case of laziness. When you have a big philanthropist, he says, look, build what you want. Collect as much money as you can from the congregation, and I'll give the rest. This is not atzlus. It says lefi shenisatzlu. And then the third question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take the Yud out of their name? What did that signify? Nosi without the Yud. The explanation to this is, firstly, there are two types of duties, of appointments in the world. One is that of the leader, the Nosi, the Melech. And the other is that of the nation. The Nosi and the Melech, we find that they're compared to the Raya, to the shepherd. The nation, the people, they're compared to the sheep. Where do we find this? A number of places. But one place is here in Parshas Pinchos. Parshas Pinchos which is also in Bamidbar. Just looking for it here. Chof Zayin, Posuk Tes Zayin. Vaydaber Amesha El Hashem Lemor. Yivker Hashem Elakei Aruchais Lechol Boso Ish Al Ha'edo. When Moshe heard that he's going to die and he will not lead the people into Eretz Yisrael, this is speaking at the end of the 40 years in the desert, a long time later, Moshe said that the God of all spirits and of all flesh, he must appoint a person who will lead the nation. Asher Yetzel Lifnehem, who will go out in front of them, Vasher Yovei Lifnehem, and who will come in front of them, Vasher Yotzi Eim, Vasher Yivi Eim, and who will take them out and who will bring them in. Velesia Adas Hashem, in order that the nation of Hashem shall not be katzon, like sheep, Asher Ein Lahem Re'eh, who do not have a shepherd. So here we see that the leader, he's called the shepherd. The nation, they are called the sheep. Now, what is the job of the shepherd? The shepherd has to be in front. He leads the herd. When he goes out, he has to be in front to take them out. When he brings everyone back, he has to be in front to bring them back. And this is the prince. This is the melech. This is the king. This is the one who's in the leadership. You can't lead from the back. And you can't drive from the back. We find, for example, in the Digle Amidbar, the camp formations that was in the desert, that were in the desert, Yehuda was the melech. What does it say on Yehuda? Yehuda yale bereish. He will go first. Berishayna yisau. His campsite will break camp and lead first. Where was his position? His position was in the east, because the east is considered the front of the world. The east is called Mizrach from the word Zricha, because that's where the sun rises. And that's the beginning of the world. The Marov is where the sun sets. He has to be in the front, facing the front of the world. Therefore, that the Nasim said, let everyone bring, and we will fill in what is lacking. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a very generous offer. But it's not for the leaders. That could be for the Ma'asev Kol HaMachanais. In the Midbar, in the desert, in the campsites, there was also the last camps that they were called Ma'asev Kol HaMachanais. They would make sure that no one was left behind. They were the rear guards. But the rear guards are not the vanguards, and the vanguards are not the rear guards. Each one has his duty and each one has his job. The job of the Nasi, of the Melech, is to go in the front and to lead and to drive the nation. And you have to drive from the front. And therefore, what they said was very good. But it's not for the leaders. They should have said, we will come and give first. And we will set the example to show the people how to give. And then the others would follow. Instead, by saying, you go first, that's like the shepherd telling the sheep, you go first, and we will follow you. This is why it states on the Melech, on the king. The Gemara says, Melech peretz geder. A king, he breaks all fences and walls, and he makes his own routes, makes his own roads. The fact is, this is a quality, an innate quality in a king, and it's an innate quality in a leader. If a leader does not have this quality, then he cannot be a leader. The fact is, we find by Yehuda, who was, our kingship is modeled after Yehuda. From him comes David HaMelech and the Melech HaMashiach. It states Yehuda was born from Peretz. When Tamar was giving birth and she had twins in her womb, there was Zerach and Peretz. Zerach started to come out first, but then Peretz shoved him aside and he came out first. And the midwife said, ma poratzto olecho Peretz. Why are you... The word poratz pirtza means to shove aside and break through. Why are you breaking through? Zerach was first, and you moved him aside and came out first. Seitz al kein, akorish my poratz. Therefore they called his name Peretz. And it was from Peretz that Yehuda came from, not Zerach. Because this is the quality of kingship. Fact is, where do we find this word again, Peretz? We find this in Parshas. There where we find it is in Vayeshev Lamed Cheskov Tes, but we find this by Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayetze, Chof Ches Posuk Yudalit. When Yaakov went to sleep and he dreamt, he was running away from Esav. It states, V'hoyo za'acha ke'afar o'oretz. Kodesh Baruch Hu came to him in the dream and he said that your seed will be as numerous, as plentiful as the dust of the earth. U'paratzto yoma v'kedma v'tzafovna v'negbo. And they were paratzto. What does it mean, paratzto? They will spread out in every direction. In other words, they will break all parameters. They will break all confines. Paratzto, they will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. V'nivruchu b'cho kol mishpachais ha'adoma uvezarecho. And they, all the families of the earth will be blessed because of them. This is the innate quality of a king, of a melech. And this was the innate quality of Yaakov Avinu, who became a leader of the world. And this is the quality, to a great degree, of the Jew. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you will be leaders of the world. In other words, you can't sit back and you will be the rear guards. but you have to go forward and set the example. Now, when you go in front, though, that doesn't mean that, for example, you're driving the lead car of the whole convoy, you're in front, but you're following the road, because then the road is leading. You're not leading. You're just following the road. That's not a king. It says, HaMelech Peretz Geder. The king is the one who makes new roads when necessary. He will go off the road, and he will go to the right or to the left when it's deemed necessary. If the pattern is just to follow all of the old roads that were made in the world, this is dogma. You're doing what everybody else did. That's not leadership. That's not Malchus. That's why by Malchus it says, Uparatzto, Peretz made a new road. And Yaakov Avinu made new roads. And Yehuda made new roads. The Melech HaMashiach, he will not follow the roads that were made in the world till him. He will create new roads. So this is the innate quality of a king. And therefore they have to be in the front. If we go into this deeper, the Chazal tell us that just like in the human body, there's every part of the body, and it must all work together with a perfect synchronism, a perfect teamwork. But then there's a leader, and the leader is the heart. And the Melech, the king, is known as the heart. Stay slave Malochim Yad Hashem. The Rambam writes that the Torah gave mitzvahs to a king which he didn't give to the rest of the people. For example, he said that a king is only allowed to marry so many women, penyosu levavai, lest his heart be turned away from me. So the Rambam asks, this should be a mitzvah to anyone. Why only the king? Penyosu levavai, lest his heart be turned away from me. So then the Rambam says, no. Al hasoris libay koped rachmono, hasoris leiv hamelech, shehamelech libay shalaam. Kodesh Baruch Hu is worried about the heart of the king. If an individual's heart is turned away, that's an individual problem. If a king's heart is turned away from Hashem, and the king's heart is the heart of the nation, then the whole nation is led astray. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried about. Because if he's the leader, where he's driving the people, the other people are following. If he's turned away, all will be turned away. Now, why is he called the heart? The reason why he's called the heart is because the heart is what drives the body. The heart is the power which moves the body and drives the body. And it never stops. Heart never rests. It's a Gemara Masech Tohorius that says the heart is the single organ in the human being that never gets a holiday. Other organs can rest, can sleep a little, not the heart. Works all of the time. Just like a king can never get a holiday. He has to drive the body just like the king has to constantly lead the nation. And also it's brought. And just like the shepherd. Shepherd can't sleep. Even when he rests or sleeps, his mind has to be on his job. He's got the responsibility of leading the flock. It's brought also, if we look in Parshas Vayechi, Mem Ches Posuk Tes Vov. Yaakov Avinu was old, and he came, and he was going to bench, give brachas to Yosef and to his grandchildren Ephraim and Manasseh. Vayvorech es Yosef vayomar, and he blessed Yosef, and he said, Elokim asher yisalchu aveisa lefona v'avrom v'yitzchok, the God which has gone before my father, which my fathers have gone before him, Avram and Yitzchok, Elokim hareya osi, the God which has been my shepherd, me'edi ad hayom hazeh, from my youth until this day. What does it mean, he has been my shepherd? The Targum brings, Dezan yosi medisoni ad yom hadein, that has sustained me, that has been mefanis me, that has given me physical sustenance. See, the reya, the shepherd, is also known as the, and the leader is known as the parnes, the one who's responsible to see that the people that he's in charge of are physically taken care of, their physical sustenance. It's the heart that's responsible to see that the entire body gets its physical sustenance. Because Adam Ho Anefesh, the power of life is in the blood, and the heart has to see that this blood is dispersed to every part of the body in a good state, in a pure state. If it doesn't, where that blood won't go, it will not have physical sustenance and will wither away. So therefore, the calculation that they made, let everybody come and give, and what's left over, what's needed, we will fill in. That's a good calculation, but that's not a calculation for leaders. The leaders have to be first, and they have to be in front, and they have to set the example where everyone else follows. This was the complaint under Nassim. We can ask a question here, though. What's the difference? What's the difference if their calculation was right or not? In the meantime, they had guaranteed that all of the needs of the Mishkan would be taken care of. They said that everybody bring for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary, and what is else is needed, we will fill in. So what's the difference in what they did? All right, they didn't inspire the people to give, perhaps. The people were inspired without them, but it could have been that they didn't inspire the people to give. But meanwhile, there would have been enough for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary, because they guaranteed to underwrite all of its shortfalls. So what's the difference? The answer to this is here we see something else in leadership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a leader. He wants a king that will inspire the nation to do, that will uplift the nation to do. Not that the king will do the job himself. A general of an army is not there to do the job himself. The general of an army is someone who can bring the army to the level of doing the job. Just like the shepherd. The owner of the flock, he engages a shepherd. He's not interested in the shepherd himself. He's interested in what the shepherd could do with the sheep. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a leader to Klal Yisrael, he's not interested in the leader doing the job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that the leaders should come and they'll be the ones who make all of the contributions to the sanctuary and finished. He wants the nation. So therefore, they have to be the ones to uplift the nation and to inspire the nations and direct them in the right direction. And this they failed. This is why there was a complaint against them. Now, we have our second question. What is the significance that Hashem removed the Yud from their name? And why were they called Atzlonim? Nisatzel, which means They suffered from idleness. It wasn't a question of idleness. The answer to this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created man and states, Ofer min Adama, from the earth. This is physical man. The earth has no life in it. Physical matter has no life in it innately. Therefore, this that man was made from physical matter, this is what is known as a domain. A domain is where he's totally still and silent. The quality of atzlus, of idleness, comes from the sheirish, from the source where man was created. If you take the dirt, if you take the earth, if you take a rock, there is no movement in it, and it is totally silent. Therefore, it's classified as a daimem, and this is where the quality of idleness, of sluggishness comes from. On the other hand, it states, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the earth to fashion man, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, he blew into his nostrils a nishmas chayim, a living breath. A living breath, a living soul. That's the life which he injected into this domain, into this physical matter. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu put life into this matter. But it's not the matter, it's not the physical mass that has the power of life and movement. It's the Nishmas Chaim, it's the breath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in him. And this we could call the Ruach, the spirit of the person. Actually, this has, like we mentioned, this has its source in the heart of the person. So it comes out like this, that from the physical nature of man, he wants to lie still, doesn't want to move. To the contrary, from the spiritual nature of man that was blown into his nostrils, and this ruach, this spirit that was put into him, that's totally something which moves. That's totally alive. Nishmas Chaim states. Something of living matter. That's what moves man. And that's how we said that its place is in the heart, and therefore the heart is what moves a person. If you want to see if something is alive or dead, you watch it to see if it's moving. If it never moves, you suspect it might be dead. If it moves, it can't be dead. What happens to the person when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to take back his Nishmas Chaim? Physical man is still there, but he's totally silent, he's totally still. He's as still as a rock. Now, there's a constant war. There's a constant clash of forces in man. Because each part of man has a different nature. The physical part of man, he likes to rest. He likes to be still. He doesn't like to look for trouble. On the other hand, the spirit of man doesn't like to be still. Doesn't like to be rest. He wants to move. So you have these two forces. It all depends what is gaver on what. What is rules. What is victorious? When the physical idleness, when that rules, then a man is sluggish. He's idle. It's nisatzel. When the spirit rules, then he moves. This is what in, if we look in Parsha, Shemos, Perek Aleph, Posuk Yutes. Shemos Aleph, Yutes. Paro had commanded the midwives that when they give birth to the children, to the Hebrew children, his astrologers had told him that there's going to be a young boy born, and that young boy will grow into a man that will destroy you and redeem Israel. So therefore he commanded all of the midwives that if it's a male child, you must put him to death. They refused to listen. So he summons them. Vayikra melech Mitzrayim lam yaldes. This is in Yudches. He called, the king of Egypt called the midwives. Why have you done this? And you have given life to the children. Vatomana ham yaldes el pare. So the midwife said to pare, Kilech hanoshim hamitzios ha-ibrios. The Egyptian women, the Hebrew women, are not like the Egyptian women. Kichoya is heino. Because, now choyes can mean two things. Choyes can mean they're full of life. Or choyes can mean they are a midwife themselves. Because a midwife was called the chayu. B'terem tove aleihem am yaledes v'yalodu. Before the midwife gets to them, they've already given birth. Now the Chazal Darshan, if we say, what does it mean that they're choyes heino? Now choyes also can mean they're like, they're midwives. But they said, but a midwife also needs a midwife. So just because they're midwives, they also would need a midwife to help them give birth. And therefore, by the time you get there, they have not given birth yet, so you could kill the children. So Rashi brings the drosha from Chazal, where he says, Rabbeinu Dorshu, this is in the middle of Posuk Yutes in Rashi, our rabbis expounded, Arei hein mishuleis lechayos asodeh. What does it mean, kichoyos heino? They're like the chayos hasodeh, they're like the wild game in the fields. She'enon sriches miyaldes. They do not need miyaldes. They do not need midwives. A domesticated animal needs help when he's giving birth. The shepherd, the farmer, the herdsman, they need help. And birth doesn't come easy to them. But the wild animals in the bush, in the wilds, they don't need any help. So that's what they answered. He said, our women are not like the Egyptian women that might be like the domesticated animals. They give birth very, very slowly. But our women are like the chayos hasodeh, like the wild game in the bush. They don't need any help. So by the time the midwives come to them, they've already given birth, so it's too late. Now, the Maral explains, because the chayos are called a chayo, not a behema, because they have more life in them. We can see they run faster, they move faster, they jump, they spring. Animal itself is much slower. The fact is, the slowest animal is known as the chamor, the donkey. And he's called the chamor because of the word chomer. Chomer means physical mass. That's why he's known as the pack animal, because he has such a strong physical body. when there's strong physical mass, that works against that living spirit that's in the body. On the contrary, if there's not such strong physical mass, but there's a strong spirit, there you'll find the enthusiasm in the Zrizus. And that's the highest Hasoda. So this is what the midwives told Pare. He says that the Egyptian women, you Egypt, now Egypt in general, the Novi, the prophet, wrote on Egypt, Sorem kipsar hamorim, zarem kizera susim. Their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and the seed is like the seed of horses. This is what the Novi, what the prophet said on Egypt. They were a very, very physical people. So the midwife told Pare, very good. He says, they need a midwife. They take a long time giving birth. So they would have plenty of time to kill the children as they were coming out of the womb. But by our Hebrew women, they're like the highest Hasoda. 1, 2, 3, they give birth. And very easily. Because we're not a physical nation, we're a spiritual nature. Doesn't mean we're not physical, but we have a very, very strong spirit in us. And therefore, before we come, they said, the midwife said to Pare, Kilecha noshima mitzraisa ibirais. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptians. They're like the highest hasodeh. They're like the wildlife of the fields. Before the midwives can come to them, they've already given birth. So this is what we're speaking about. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he saw deeper than everyone else. The Nesim themselves, the princes, they thought their calculation was a good calculation. Let the arm, the nation, give what they want. And whatever is lacking, we will give. Meantime, it states that the nation was so joyous that they would have the opportunity to give to the Mishkan of Hashem that they brought with such speed and enthusiasm that in 2 mornings, baboker, baboker, it was host, die of a hosa. There was enough and too much when Moshe had to tell them to stop. Now, why didn't the Nesim feel that way? The Nesim should have felt like that doubly. Firstly, they should have jumped at the chance. Secondly, knowing that they have to be in the front, they certainly should have felt that way. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that that's where that calculation was coming from. That was Iskabrus HaChemer. The physical part of them had started to rule. And they weren't enthusiastic over it. When someone's enthusiastic, he's like a wild horse that you have to hold back with the reins. That's the spirit in him. He saw that was what was happening. Therefore he says, no, Lefishin is Atzlo. It comes from Atzlos, from sluggishness, from the idleness. And therefore he said, write their name without the Yud. Because the Yud is the letter of Hashem's name that represents something which is totally Nivdal, totally separated from this world. Actually, the Yud is just a dot. It has the least amount of physical form in it from all of the physical letters. And that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in man. And because that was lacking, so he says, write them here, take the Yud out of their name. So therefore, Lefishin Isatzlu, Neachsa Yud Mishmam. This explains to us what took place here. Now, on this topic, what we're speaking about here is the Zrizus or the Atzlus, the idleness, the sluggishness, or the enthusiasm of the spirit of the person. This we have instruction also from Shlomo HaMelech, from King Solomon. Sefer Mishlei. Sefer Mishlei, Perek Vav, from Pasuk Vav onward, King Solomon instructs. He says, Lech el Namolo Otzel. The Otzel, that's the idle one. He says, you, the idle one, the lazy one, go to the ant. Reid Rocheho. Observe the ant, Vachachom, and become wise from it. Asher ein lo kotzin, shoter meishel. He has no king. He has no policeman over him. He has no ruler. So nobody tells him what to do. And still talking, bakayitz lachmo, when it comes to the heat of the summer, when others want to rest, he is preparing his lechem, his bread, for the winter. Ogre bakotzer macholo, and when it comes to the harvest season, he's bringing in even more. Ad mosai otzel tishkov. For how long will the lazy one, will the sluggish one, lie down? Mosai toku mishnasecho. When will you raise up from your sleep? Mi'at sheinais, mi'at tenumais, mi'at chibuk yodaim lishkov. The lazy one also says, a little more sleep, a little more rest, some relaxation where I can fold my arms and sit back. Uvokim ahalech reishecho. And before you know it, the poverty will confront you just like that. Umach sorcho. And it'll attack you like an armed person. See, he's not the idle one. He says, look, I got plenty of time to prepare for the winter. Winter's still a few months off. So I got plenty of time. Let me sleep a little more. Let me rest a little more. Let me watch a little more television, a little more videos. Okay? Then there'll be time. Before you know it, poor man, their poverty will be at your door. In other words, the winter is here when there's no food to be found. And it'll attack you like an armed person. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. Now the Gemara brings in Masechet Chulin. The Gemara is in, find it. It's in Perik Elu Trefis, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. My Oskon Bedvorim. It's about three quarters of the page down. There was a Reb Shimon ben Chalafta. And he was Oskon Bedvorim. He busied himself with certain things. So Gemara says, what does that mean? Omer ben Misharshe diksiv leich al namolo otzel rei drochech vachachoma she'en le kotzin she'ter meishel. The Gemara brings these psukim from Mishlei that we just read. Reb Shimon ben Chalofta said, Omar Ezel Echse, Ivadehu de Lesnu Malko. I want to go and find out if he really doesn't have a leader, a king. Also, Betkuvas Tamos. See, he went in the summertime. Tamos is when you have your hottest sun in the northern hemisphere in Eretz Yisrael. Tammuz usually comes out in July, August. Ozel betkuvas Tammuz, so he went at that season. Parse leglime akina dishum shamani. He found an ant's nest, an anthill, and he took a garment and he spread it over the top. Rashi explains that the ants, they hate the sun, the heat. So therefore they stay away from the sun. Nafak also, chad minayo, an ant came out of the of his hole. Esnach be Simona, Reb Shimon ben Chalafta put some type of sign on him. I don't know exactly what he did. Today they would tag him with a little chip. So maybe he put a chip on him. But he put some type of sign. In other words, he looked at him very closely so he would be able to identify him. All. Now he went back to his anthill. Omaluhu nafal tula. And he told the rest of the rest of the ants that nafal tula, that the shade has come, the sun has set. Nafku. So they all came out now. Nafku also. Dalyin leglimei. Now he took away his garment. Nafal shimsha. And the sun all of a sudden came out on everyone. And they were very angry because he lied to them. Noflo aleo vekatle. So they all ganged up on this ant and they killed him. He was able to tell it was this ant because he had designated him. Omar. So he said, from here, Shmamino, leslu malko. From here we see that they have no king. Why? The Islahu. Because if they did have a king, then Harmon the Malka Lele boy, wouldn't he need permission granted from the king before they could? Wouldn't they need permission from the king before they could kill him? It's not anarchy. So now, just on their own, they went and they killed him. Omalei Ravacha b'dei d'rova l'ravashi. So Ravacha b'dei d'rova said to Ravashi, I don't agree with the test. Duma malka abadayu. He says, firstly, I can tell you, in other words, scientific observations, he says, are not always 100%. Firstly, maybe the king was there. How do you know? Maybe he was amongst them. Secondly, nami hamanda the malka abanakiti. Secondly, maybe the king had already given a decree, a long-standing decree, that any ant that lies, you kill him. So they had the decree. Inami, thirdly, bin Malka la Malka haba. Maybe it was between terms of the kings. One king had died, there was a coup. One king had died, and a new king hadn't come up yet. Tiksiv, like we see in Shaftim, by Yomi Mehem Melach Bisrael, Isha Yosha Bein of Yaseh. We find the same thing in Shaftim, that there was a certain time when there were no kings. So everyone had to do what he felt was right. So this is the same thing here. So he says, I don't agree with your scientific tests. So now he says, Elo, I Shlema Melech said it. Smeichem Nusa de Shlema. He says, the way we know it's right is not from the tests, but from the fact that King Solomon said it. Neman hu al kach uba ruach hakedish omro. If King Solomon said it, we can trust him, because whatever he said with Ruach HaKodesh. He said with prophecy and from HaKodesh Baruch. This is the Gemara. Now, there's a... there's a Medrash. Well, firstly, the first thing is that the Medrash, the Medrash is a Medrash. The Medrash is in Dvarim Rabba Perikei. The Medrash says like this. Brings the psukim from Mishle. Maro shlama lelamed leotzel mina namola. The Maral brings this in his Nesivas Rizrus Perakalaf. Why did King Solomon tell the lazy one to learn from the ant. What can he learn from the ant? Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan said, "Anamalla azu gimel batim yeshlo." This ant, he has three storehouses. Ve'ena kineses be'elyen b'bnei ha'delef. He doesn't store all of the grains and the food that he gathers. He doesn't store it in the top house because it can rain in, and then it'll be spoiled. Ve'le betachtein. And he doesn't store it in the bottom house, b'bnei ha'tino, because of the dampness, so it can rot. Elabem soy. He stores it in the middle house. So he has three houses, one on top of each other. Ve'ena chaya l'shisha chadoshim. He lives only 6 months. Loma, why for such a short time? Shein lo gidim v'atzomes. Because he has no bones, and he has no gidim. No sinews. L'kach ena chaya l'shisha chadoshim. Therefore he can only live for 6 months. For the whole lifetime, he only needs 1.5 grains of wheat. That's all he needs. 1.5 grains of wheat, that's a lifetime sustenance for him. And he goes and he gathers up everything that he possibly can find, be it wheat, be it oats, be it beans, whatever. Whatever he can find, he drags into his storehouses. Amar b'tan kuma, v'chol ma'achol ein arach hito mekso, he can esses his eilu v'lomo yaisakein. If he only needs a lifetime, he's got a lifetime insurance policy if he brings in 1.5 grains of wheat. So what does he keep storing away for? Because he says, Shema yigzo alai shomro, Shema yigzo alai HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayim, v'yilei muchan le'ochel. He says, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant me more life and I have to have what to eat. He's the optimist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant me more life and I'll have what to eat. Omar Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, Maiso hoyo motze bebo shleish me'ez kur. Ma shemach neses minakaitz lechorev. They once inspected his storehouses, and they found 300 kurs of grain, which is an enormous amount of grain, which he had stored away from the summer for the winter. Therefore, Shlaima said, Leichel namolo otzel reid rochecho. Go to the ant, you lazy one. Re'ei drocheho. See its ways. Bachachom. And take wisdom. Af atem haskinu lechem mitzvahs min ha'ilamazeh le'ilam abo'a. You also gather up mitzvahs from this world to the next world. Now, the Rabbonim came along and they said, we can understand why it says you should learn wisdom from him. But it states, Rei Drocheho, see his conduct. What do you learn from there? My Rei Drocheho, his conduct. Rabbanan Amri, Rei Derecheh Yeshbo. See his conduct amongst people, amongst his fellow ants. Why? Sheborach Asmina Gesel. He'll run away from theft, from anything that's not his. Omer B'Shimon Chalofta. This is B'Shimon Chalofta said, Maisa, this is the one that made these inspections. He says, Maisa ben Amola Achas. He had made another test and he saw that there was an ant, Shehipilu Chita Achas, while he was dragging his wheat into his hole, he dropped a bit. Vayakulin Bois, and he watched all the other ants come, Umeirichais Ba, and they would smell it. And not one would touch it, because when they would smell it, they would realize it's not theirs. And until this one that had lost it came back, and he took it. See his conduct and his chokhma and his wisdom. Now, The Maral says concisely that many things we can learn from here. Firstly, he says, Shlema Melech is teaching us that we're supposed to learn from the world around us. He says, go to the Otzel, go to the Namola, go to the end. Person is supposed to be conscious of his surroundings, because you can learn from everything, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And Shlomo HaMelech said, look, you a whole Shi'urei Torah, a whole kind of Musar, Halochas, right? You can learn from a single ant. So that's why he told him, Lecha l'namola otzel, rei drachecha v'chacham. Look at his ways, you'll learn and take from its wisdom. That's the first thing. Secondly, he says, we see from his great zrizus, because it's the nature of the world that everything has a leader. He says, even if you find by animals that might not have a leader, but the leadership is built into them by instinct, it drives them. Everything has what drives him. It could be a king. It could be a katzin, a shaiter, a meishel. These are different types of leaders. The shaiter are the shaiterim, they're the law enforcement leaders. Why does a person go to work every day? He's got a boss waiting for him. This is what drives people. So this helps us overcome the domain in us, the nature of the physical body that doesn't want to move, doesn't want to do anything. The ant was created not like that. The ant was created without any of these instincts and without any leader. And the ant on his own pushes himself. So this is a sign of the Keach HaZrizus, the power of the spirit that pushes him. And it is just to the contrary, because this takes strength. And the ant is one of the most fragile beings. It has no bone structure and has no sinews and lives only for 6 months. So that's the second point that we learn. A third point that we learn is, we see this all, this happens to everyone. This happens at every level. We're busy doing things. We're busy achieving. But these achievements, this is what we're doing. How much sustainability does it have in it? In other words, how many times do we have to do over what we do? Or how many times do we do things and because they were done just for the sake of experience and they weren't done properly to begin with, we wanted to do it 1, 2, 3. We wanted a fast job. Today, in today's world, everything is fast. It wasn't done with care. It wasn't done properly. That in the end, it's the short road that in the end is the long road. So what good was all of the toil? You see, the ant is very careful to give cue, to give sustainability to what he does. He toils, he works through the whole season to bring in his panosha. But he's very careful where he puts it. Doesn't put it in the top storehouse, because there he can become ruined from the rain. Doesn't put it in the bottom storehouse, because there it can become ruined from the dampness. So he puts it in the middle storehouse. He says, from this a person has to learn that whatever he does, he's got to make his actions count. He has to make every act count, every word count, every thought count. Just like the ant. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says, go and study the ant for Hachom. Not that you do a tremendous volume, but in the end it's gonish vert. It's worthless, because you're going to have to do it all over again. Then Kal Bachemer, he says, how much more so when it comes to mitzvahs? Because the Gemara says that when a person leaves this world, all of his toil in the physical world, if it was done only for physical purposes, leaves him. There's no sustainability. All leaves it behind. A malavin laodam is not escorted lay kesev v'leizov, not with silver, not with gold. V'lei avonim tevis v'lei magolias, and not precious stones and not pearls. So here you have just the opposite of that. A person works and works and works around the clock and around the clock. All their life he works. What is he working for? He's working for himself. Yazov chele la'achedim. All your work, someone else is going to use it, not you. So the wise person has to make all his actions count. He's got to make sure that what he's doing, he'll have mitzvahs from. From working, you can have mitzvahs too. You work to support a family properly, to direct your children in the right ways, to give tzedakah, for Torah and so forth, whatever. But if you work for that purpose, that's mitzvah. So it says, what escorts a person? Ela Torah u'maisim devim bavad, his Torah and his good deeds. That's what escorts a person into the next world. So therefore, that we can learn from the end. That not only does a person have to work, but he has to make sure that it's sustained, that it's kept. Then we learn from the ant. He is, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, that there's a time limit. You see, the ant is always rushing. If you look at him, he's rushing back and forth, he's hurrying. Why is he rushing? Because he knows that the season is going to end. He knows that Shlomo HaMelech's words were, he said, Tochin b'kaitz lachmo, ogre b'kotzim macholo. He has the summertime and he has the harvest season. After that, there'll be no crops left. There'll be no food available. The fields can be covered with snow. So for a long 6 months, he'll have nothing to eat. That's why he's rushing. He's got to now. If it's not now, it's not going to be. See, this is a person has to learn. A person also, he doesn't have forever. It has to be now. If it's not now, it's not going to be. So this also he must learn. Then he says something else we learn. He says he works in the kites, that's the heat of the summer, and he works in the harvest time. Talking about kites lachmo, ogre ba kotzir macholo. What are these two seasons for? He says in the kites, in the heat of the summer, there's not a lot of grain plentiful. Harvest time, there's much more. So this, now, therefore, there would be a logic. Don't waste your time in the summertime. Wait for the harvest time. Now, the ant uses every opportunity. I can find something in the summertime, so I work through the whole heat of the summer. The harvest time, I'll find even more, so I work through the whole harvest time. Talking about kaitz lachmo, ogre ba kotzer macholo. He said, what does the person learn from this? It states, Ashrei ha'ish. Fortunate is the man that fears Hashem kishu ish, while he's still young. That a person in his youth, smach bachur, says the young person should rejoice in fulfilling the will of Hashem. because then he has the strength, then he has the energy, he has the keach, he has the ambition. Many people will say, look, I'll wait till I'm, now it's time for other things, and I'll wait till I'm older. Nah, don't wait for you older, because then you don't have the keach. So that's that season. But then there's a logic to the contrary, that when a person is old, now's the time to take it easy. You worked the whole life. Now you take it easy. Now you retire. Now. It says, that's what the Rebbe Kiva said. It's in, also from Apostle Shlomo Melech in Keilos. In the morning, in the youth, you have to work. And in the evening, you have to work. You must not rest in the evening. Because the years go by. Life is not forever. You have to use every opportunity. This is what we learn from the Namola, because he uses every opportunity. Doesn't only wait till it's all around. Every opportunity. What else can we learn from him? He dwells on this, that it states that he only lives for 6 months, and he knows he's only going to live for 6 months, yet he gathers up enough to feed an army. What for? So he said, because Shema Yigzor Alai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yigzor Alai Chaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant me more life, and I have to have what to eat. So the Maharal says something very, very profound here. He says, really, a person innately should feel that he's going to live forever. Innately, he should feel he's going to live forever. Why? Because that's how the world was created. The world was created that a person should live forever. It's only after Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas that death came to the world. But before then, it was created that he should live forever. And the Maharal writes, not only man, he says, Le Shum Beria. Death had not come to the world for any creature. So if that's the case, why doesn't the person live forever? That's because of the decree. The decree that came to the world, that death was brought. Now, I'll give you an example. If you buy something, let's say you buy something that has a a lifespan. It's tested. It's a machine. And it's tested that it can only take so much physical stress, and after that it's going to collapse. So it's good, let's say, for 12 months. So to think it's going to last forever, that's a mishigas. It's tested that it's only strong enough to last for 12 months. After 12 months, you can't expect it to carry on. But let's say that someone gives you something. This can last forever. Except he says, one day I'm going to come and take it back. That's a different story. What you have will last forever. Except one day he's going to come and knock on my door and take it back. But maybe he won't. Maybe he won't. Maybe forget about it. Maybe he'll decide to let me keep it. Maybe he'll come late. So I must carry on with it. He says that's the attitude a human being has to have. It wasn't that the person was created to only live so many years. He was created forever. Except HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decree. The Malach HaMavis will come. Person can be an optimist. Maybe the Malach HaMavis won't come. See? And that, he says, we can learn from the Namola, from the ant. That he, the ant, he doesn't care. He says, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not send the Malach HaMavis for me. And then I'll be in trouble. I won't have what to eat. So therefore, he keeps gathering. Then, he says one more principle we can learn. And that is, generally, everyone has to battle for Parnosa. Parnosa is not easy. That also was from the klolis, from the plagues that came to the world. So everyone has to battle. Even the wealthy have to battle. They're in their battle and they're afraid that just like that they can lose it. And you go out into the field, the animals also are battling. Actually, the Gemara says the epanosa comes much easier, but still you go out into the into the bush, they're battling. Here we see, now generally, who gets the most panosa? The strongest. That's the rule of the wild. The biggest fish, he has the most eat. The lion, he has the panosa. So we should say that the ant should have the least panosa of every creature. Because we mentioned that he doesn't even have a bone structure. Yet we find that he has the greatest panosa of every creature. What creature only needs 1.5 grains for a lifetime? And here they stored up hundreds of kilos of food. What creature has that? So he says, why is that? He says, that's because panos is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not from the strength of the person. The Torah tells us, a person must not say, ki eitzim yodi, my strength, osis kol achay lazeh, created all of this wealth. Panos doesn't come from the strength of the person. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives in accordance to the deeds of the person as she sees fit. And because the ant will never touch anything that has anything to do with gezel, with threat, theft, will never touch anything that belongs to someone else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them all of their panosa. Not like people think that the more you can take from someone and the more you can defraud someone, the more you'll have. It's just opposite. Here, the weakest creature that we know of, and he needs so little, and he has 100 or 1,000 times that much that he needs. Where is it coming from? Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him. And why? Because he's bereach min hagezel. Not only he won't touch, he'll run away. So this is what Shlomo HaMelech said to the Otzo. There's so much, if you'll open your eyes and you'll observe what's going on in the world, there is so much you can learn. Lech ala namola otzel. Rei drocheha v'chachom. See her ways and take from their wisdom. These are some principles when it comes to the zrizus and the enthusiasm and the atzlus, the ishrashlus, the idleness, in which we find by the Nesim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.